Morning. It's good to see everybody today. We want to continue our study that we began last Sunday, looking at some of the things in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning faith. I thought it would be a good time to do that. In the adult class we're studying in Hebrews, we'll eventually get to chapter 11. But there's so much in this chapter about faith, I think, that's so important to us. I thought we'd look at these things in our lessons through the sermons, because we just won't have time to look at everything in our class. God's talking about faith. Try and get across to us the idea of what we've got to have to find His approval. And when you come to the day of judgment, we're going to have to find God's approval. And that's the reason I think that, at least it ought to be, of everyone here this morning, is we're here to serve God, to find His approval. As Tim even prayed in his prayer, that what we offer to Him in our worship to be a sweet-smelling savor unto Him. We want to find His approval in the things that we do, everything. And that's the purpose of this congregation here. We just don't come together to do together what we want to do together. We come here to do together what God said to do together. We want to please Him. To do that, we have to do it by faith. And faith, as the reading was given this morning there in chapter 11 and verse 1, it is the substance. It has to do with substance. It has to do with evidence. My version says faith is the assurance and conviction. Same thing. The thing that you, that's substance, that's something that you're assured of, convicted of. God doesn't expect you to believe something by blind faith. That's not faith in the Bible. Faith in the Bible is something that you're assured of, substance. Substance is something that stands under. There's something that stands under what we believe. It's not empty. There's evidence there. It's conviction. If you've got evidence about something, you're convicted about it. And God, even though there's things that we don't and have not seen ourselves, like the creation of the world, God is getting evidence that He created it. And there's more evidence for the creation of things by a divine God than there is a Big Bang theory. I tell you, those who believe in that don't have any substance. They don't have any evidence of it. In fact, the evidence is to the contrary. But faith in God is something that we can be assured of, is that gives us conviction, and by it, he says, men of old found approval. You look at this chapter, and we call it the hero of faith, or the roll book of the faithful. And you look at these men and women that are mentioned here, and you say, well, I wish I could have that kind of faith. The point is, we've got to have that kind of faith. He's telling us what faith is. God just doesn't tell us, look, I want you to be faithful. You've got to have faith. And in fact, he says there in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Because you've got to believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. And that tells you that faith is more than what most denominations teach. That faith is just a mental acknowledgement. Accept Jesus without knowing anything about Him, or without serving Him according to His way. Because it says that not only you must believe that God is, but that you've got to be one who seeks Him to receive the reward. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. God doesn't give us just an abstract idea about faith. He clothes faith with flesh and blood to show us what faith is, how it lives. And we say that's where the Bible is in general. You know, the Bible's not just a bunch of rules or just a bunch of principles. It's not just a bunch of abstract ideas. But the Bible is very much biographical in its content. And it shows us how God expects men to live by giving us examples. In fact, that's what He did through Jesus in perfection. He clothed the truth with flesh. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We behold. You want to know what truth is? You look at Jesus. You look at His life. He clothed truth with flesh. When you want to know what faith is, you look at Jesus. You look at the examples of these men that He gives us, and He lets you know what faith's all about. And how to find God's approval. How to have this that gives us assurance and conviction. And we've already looked at two things. One illustration that He gave us was Abel. And we saw in that the worship of faith. We see that faith always seeks to worship God.
And from the very beginning of time, men sought to worship, but it was by faith. And faith comes by what? Some better felt than told feeling. That's what a lot of people say. No, faith, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, listening to God's word, listening to his way. Abel was convicted. He was assured of what God wanted done, and he acted upon it. Abel offered a better sacrifice. He worshiped God. So we saw the worship of faith. Faith always seeks to worship God. Faith always seeks to worship God as God directs. And then we saw the illustration of the walk of faith with Enoch. Enoch walked with God for 300 years and then was taken by God because he was faithful. He bypassed the undertaker. And in that we see the walk of faith, and we saw the endurance of that walk, of keeping on, being faithful. Faith is not just a one-time thing. It's just an initial obedience, but it is a walk of faith. That's how Enoch found approval. We worship God. We worship God as God directs. And then we are raised to walk in newness of life. It's a walk. Not a marathon, or not just a sprint, but a marathon. It's a walk, a continual endurance with God. And all that suggests that God expects there's things for us to do in order to receive his blessings. He is the rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Exactly. That implies that God expects us to do. And yet that flies in the face of what I heard on television on the Billy Graham Classic last night. There's nothing you can do. Anything that you do nullifies the grace of God. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. God's grace, we cannot earn God's grace by our works, but we'll never receive it unless we work God's way, his will. We don't earn it, but we are unprofitable servants. Jesus said, when we've done all that we're commanded to do, we're still what? Unprofitable servants. But you know what unprofitable servants do? They serve. They work. Not to earn. But unless they serve, they are not faithful to their master. And he's talking about faith here. And faith works. I want us to look at Noah. Noah shows us the work of faith. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. We all want to be heirs of righteousness. We've got to be. There's none that are righteous, Paul said, no, not one. None of us are righteous. We're all sinners. How are you going to be righteous? Well, it's going to have to be by the grace of God to have your sin removed, to have it pardoned. We become righteous. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that we become the... Jesus died, became poor, remember? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. We become righteous because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Having our sins washed away by his blood. And we are reckoned, put down to our account that we're righteous. We find God's approval as a result of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. But to receive that, we have to do his will. We have to act by faith. Faith is coupled always with works, with obedience. The work of faith. You go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 and 9. It says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And notice it also says that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. And that's not saying that Noah was a perfect man, didn't have any sin. But he was blameless in the fact that he was striving to do the will of God. He found favor, grace, in the eyes of God as a result of that, as a result of walking with God. Now, is that, like I told you, we talked about Enoch last time, walking with God and what was involved in that. Walking with God involves doing his will. And that says a lot about Noah. A lot of people think they can't walk with God because times are evil. It's hard. You know, you look at the influence around us. And a lot of times people, when they have sin in their life, they want to make excuses for it. And say, we're only human. I've heard people pray to the Lord. Lord, we're only human. Lord knows who He made. And He knew how He made us. He made us in His image. The fact that we're human is not an excuse. The fact we're human is the reason that we ought to rise above sin. God made us with the ability to choose. Nobody else has that ability. But we have it. To say we're only human, try to put the blame on God. God, you created me. I can't keep from sin. No, we can keep from it. I created men upright, but men have sought out many devices. We like sheep have gone astray as humans. We're made in the image of God. We mar that image by our own doing. Noah walked with God. And he was human. And he lived in an earth at the time was filled with corruption and violence. You think it's hard to live now? It was even harder to live faithful to God, to walk with God in Noah's day than it is today. Had to be. Because there was not anybody around who was not thinking of evil continually. It's getting that way. But it was bad. In fact, the Lord said when he comes back and returns again, it's just going to be just like it was the day of Noah. It's going to be, there's not going to be enough salt left in this earth to preserve it, and he's going to wrap it up. And this time, not going to be with a flood. He said in 2 Peter 3, it's going to be with fire. But Noah lived as a faithful man unto God and walked with God. And I think you see the influence of Enoch in that. You remember we said this is the great-grandfather, and he lived 300 years, so he died not long before Noah was born. And no doubt his influence, and there's a lesson just in that. We could preach a lesson on the influence that we're to have on our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and no doubt the example of Enoch still burned in the minds of Moses' parents. And that was taught unto him, and to remember who he was and how he walked with God. But regardless of who his grandfather was, and regardless of who his father was, when it came down to it, Noah was responsible as an individual to God to do his will in that day. And that's the way it is with you and me. It doesn't matter who your great-granddaddy was, whether he was a good man or a bad man. Doesn't matter who your parents were. When it comes right down to it, you and I, if we're going to find God's approval, it's going to come through faith. And what's faith? It's assurance. It's conviction. It's seeking God, believing in Him, finding the reward as a result of that. That's faith. He's trying to tell us what's involved in that. It involves worship. It involves walking with God. It involves work. Noah shows us the work of faith. I'll tell you, Noah did this in a very discouraging situation. He did not have encouragement outside his family. Of course, some of the greatest encouragement can come from a young family. No doubt there's been times in your life when everybody else seems to be discouraged, but if you've got your husband, you got your wife, you got your children, they'll encourage you when nobody else won't encourage you. But it's good to have encouragement from other people in it. Isn't it good sometimes to discuss spiritual things with people of like precious faith? I'm telling you, Noah didn't have it. And whether that there, talking about 120 years, whether that's talking about the man's life or man, the period, it no doubt took a long time for Noah to build this ark. And if it was 120 years, then that whole time, and even before that, he didn't have any encouragement. Not outside of his family. I want to tell you, sometimes I think we just take for granted what we've got in being able to come together like we are this morning. And sometimes you have to try to prod people to come. I don't understand that. I want to tell you, if Noah had an opportunity like this, what do you think? He never knew it. He never knew it. He didn't have an opportunity to come to people who believed in God and believed what God said and have encouragement from the outside world. All he had was his family. He didn't have a whole group of people. He couldn't go to a gospel meeting. You know, a lot of times people won't go. I'll tell you, if you go to gospel meetings, you'll be, not only will you encourage other people, you'll be encouraged. Because you're just going with people of like precious faith and encouraging and learning about His Word and studying God's Word and encouraging one another. The Lord said we need that. Hebrews chapter 3, you remember. Encourage one another all the more. Hebrews chapter 10, all the more as we see the day drawing near. Encourage one another. We need it. Noah didn't have it. You know, Noah, he preached and you know, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. He didn't have anybody say, Noah, you just keep up good work. Appreciate your lesson. Appreciate what you're preaching. Nobody else might not believe it, but you're encouraging us. I tell you, it's good to have that kind of encouragement, but Noah didn't have it. Noah, however, responded. The work of faith responds regardless whether anybody else believes it or not, whether anybody else encourages you or not. Faith simply works. It acts. It obeys. And it's coupled with works. You can't separate it from it. In fact, there are so many passages in the New Testament that shows us that. That we must work, we must serve. Just as soon as God warned Noah the consequences of man's sin and what he was going to do with the world in the flood and told him to prepare an ark, Noah dropped everything to do the will of God. You think when Noah was called by God, there's no doubt, I don't know what he was doing, but he had other things going. I never knew a man didn't have some kind of plans or something. He was involved in something. God says, I want you to drop everything you're doing, and I want you to get gopher wood, and I want you to build this, and here's how I want you to build it. And this was no small building project. I mean, he tells him he wants him to build something of the size of 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. Drop what you're doing and do this. He must have been awfully assured and very convinced, convicted to do what he did. That's faith, isn't it? It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When God says something, are you assured, are you convicted enough that when God says do this, whether it's to do His work, whether it's to lay aside sin so that you can do His work, God expects His people to do now. I tell you the problem with most of us, many in the church have their hands so full of everything else they can't do anything for the Lord. I'm busy doing this, and we're so busy with the kids and running them here and doing this and doing that, that we don't have any time for the Lord. But that's not living by faith, is it? Faith obeys. Faith responds. Faith works and sets everything else aside and puts God first. A preacher of righteousness and preaching about things that he was warned about. God warned him about things not yet seen. I had never seen heaven. And I ain't never seen hell. But I'm assured and I'm convinced that there's both. I've never stood before God in judgment. But I'm assured and I'm convinced that I'm going to. And that you are too. And when God says, here's what I want you to do, we better be assured and we better be convinced. Even though there's not a lot I might not have seen yet, I'm convinced because of evidence, substance, evidence, that it's there and it's real. And I'm going to face it. Noah was warned by God about things not yet seen. Now, it's very possible that it had not ever rained upon the earth at that time. You go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, no shrub of the field was yet on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground, but the mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. So, at least back in Genesis chapter 2 there was no rain, and God had provided water through a mist that rose from the ground. And whether this continued to the time of Noah, we cannot be certain. But you do read there in Hebrews 11:7 that by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. Now that just may refer to a future event that had not yet come. Possibly it could be referring to the fact that up to that time they'd never at least received rain this way and seen flooding. But whether it rained or not, it only makes sense. If it hadn't rained, it wouldn't be a rainbow. But whether it rained or not, surely they'd never seen anything like what God's fixing to bring. How'd you like to warn people about something that they never had seen? He preached it. You can easily imagine how they criticized him, especially as he built this monstrosity of a boat and warned them that God's going to destroy the earth by water. I say they laughed and ridiculed and mocked him. How many people listened? Nobody outside his family. Nobody. I'm afraid a lot of congregations wouldn't hire a preacher like Noah. Even though the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. They'd have men run him through, and listen to him, they'd give him business meetings and say, how many people you say? What's your success on evangelism? Well, all the people I've ever taught, my family. How long you been preaching? 120 years. I don't think we want this fellow. I am thankful that God said, you preach the word, you sow the seed, you leave the increase to me. God brings the increase. It's not up to me how many will respond to it. It's just up to me to preach it. Show it through my life. Noah did. But I think we made a big accomplishment if we just save our family. God says, preach my word. If nobody responds, don't you get discouraged. Don't you give up. You just keep obeying. That's faith. By faith, Noah prepared this ark. I tell you, these faith-only people, all you hear them preacher, on television, pulpits everywhere, faith only, faith only. I want to tell you, the only place in the Bible that you find the word faith and only together is preceded by the words not by. Not by faith only. But they'll preach, even though it's not in the Bible, that what saves you just faith only. And by that, they just mean mental acknowledgement. That faith, if you have any words, if you do anything that nullifies the grace of God, just like Billy Graham last night on TV. No. And that thing said no too, didn't it? I don't know what's wrong. Shut it off. Turn it off. Can we turn it off? Let's turn it off. It don't like me, I'm getting where it don't like it. There we go. Faith only. Faith only, folks, need to talk to Noah. No, I want you to build an ark. You think faith only built the ark? I mean, it's a great responsibility. And here was a man. Now, you're talking about faith responding. Faith responds with a conviction, with assurance, even though you might not understand everything about it. Was Noah a carpenter? Now, we think about him being a carpenter. I mean, man built an ark. But when you go back and read in the account of Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, when he was born, it says, when he was born, his father Lamech said, "This is the one to give us rest from our work, from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." Noah was probably a farmer. And the Lord comes as farmer and says, "Noah, I want you to build an ark. And here's the way I want you to build it." Now he could have said, "Lord, find you a carpenter. I don't know anything about that," but, you know, made all kind of excuses, but it just says that he did all that God said according to his pattern. That's faith. By faith, being warned by God, verse 7, about things not yet seen, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. And faith comes by hearing him by the word of God. That means that Noah, by what God said, did what God said, and he was found acceptable. What an application of faith. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. You can't separate faith and works. Now that's right opposite of what the denominations teach. Oh, if you put works with faith, you're nullifying the grace of God. You can't earn salvation. No, you can earn salvation. But as an unprofitable servant, I must serve, I must work. And that's the way Noah looked at it, and that's the way we must look at it too. That's the way James looked at it. He said, "You show me faith without work." He said, "I'll show you faith by my work." And he says, faith without works, if it's just faith, belief by itself, does not save. If Noah had been told, "I want you to build an ark," and Noah said, "Lord, I believe you," and never hit a lick at building that ark, you think he'd been saved? God tells us what to do, and by faith, he always couples it with obedience, with works. He that believes only shall be saved. That's what the denominations teach, but that's not what the Lord said. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." There's belief and obedience together in it. It's always that way. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, he said, "We're all sons of God." That's what we want to be, isn't it? Child of God. Can't be saved without being a child of God. He said, "We're all sons of God through faith only." Is that what he said? No, sir. "We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many have been baptized into Christ, have clothed themselves with Christ." There's faith and obedience. And here's the example of faith. Faith clothed in flesh and blood. He's trying to get us in mind how to get God's approval. And he says, faith works. It obeys God. Then to say, "Oh, Lord, I believe you." It says, "I will do what you said do." And it says, therefore, he found God's favor. God's grace comes by obeying his will. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 puts this together very plainly. "Having been buried with him in him through baptism, you were also raised up with him." How? Through faith. He puts faith along with obedience through baptism in the working of God as he raised him from the dead. It's work. And repentance is work. Baptism is no more work than repentance. And the denominations say, "Oh, well, you need to repent." In fact, most of them say you need to confess. And they all say, "Believe." And the Lord said, when the folks come to him and said, "Lord, what are the works of God that we might do them?" He said, "This is the works of God that you believe." You know, nobody can believe for you but you. And nobody confess for you other than you, and nobody can repent for you. You have to repent. You're doing something. And nobody can be baptized for you except you be baptized. And to obey the Lord to be saved, he that believes and obeys shall be saved. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Noah's case, he says, "The one who listens to my word builds his ark is going to be saved." And Noah preached that. Nobody listened to him but his family. But you know who was saved? 8 souls. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about that. You look over at 1 Peter chapter 3. And he's talking about Noah and his obedient faith. He talks about in verse 20, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight souls or eight persons, were brought safely through water. What saved Noah? The ark? No, not the ark. It was the water. He says it was saved through water. The same water that destroyed the earth raised the ark above the destruction and brought it into safety. They were saved through water. What does he say to us? Corresponding to that, or in like figure, like manner, baptism now saves you. Not a washing of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. Now that's right opposite of what the denominations say. They say it's faith only. Baptism doesn't do anything for you. Well, baptism by itself doesn't do anything, but you put it together with faith. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who's been buried in Christ and raised up through faith shall be saved. He says baptism now saves you. Not a washing of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God through, for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus. Faith always responds. It always obeys by believing and confessing and repenting and being baptized. And then living a life of faithfulness, that walking endurance that we talked about last time. But faith, it not only responds, but here's point number two. It always acts, it always obeys, it always responds, but it always responds immediately without hesitation. Now notice this. When the Lord said, Noah, I want you to build this ark, he didn't say, well, give me a little time, give me a little, let me get things to get. And I want to tell you, he couldn't go down to Home Depot and buy the tools. He couldn't go down to Lowe's and get gopher wood already cut and planed and cut to length. He couldn't do that. Seal it with pitch on the inside. You know, you couldn't buy that 5 gallon bucket. It's a big task. But he dropped everything that he did and was doing to do what God said to do. By faith he found approval. I want you to ask yourself, if we want to find approval to God, do you sometimes, when you see what God wants you to do, and God through his word, by faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God tells you what you need to be doing. Tell me what I need to be doing. And like I said, sometimes we got our hands full of other things. We don't have time to do the work of God. But we better be dropping what it is that's in our hands and get busy with what God said to do. Because by faith you'll find approval. And this is how faith works. It obeys, and it obeys without hesitation. It reminds me of Matthew 4:19 when he came to the disciples and you remember what they were doing. They were working on their fishing nets. That was a daytime. I think those fellas worked hard now. You know, I feel for people. There's a lot of jobs, there's a lot of hard jobs. One of them, a dairyman. I tell you, if you're a dairyman, I know that's an 8-day-a-week job, just about. I mean, they get, you know, we went to services with some people when we was in Manchester, we run a dairy. You know what they done on Sunday morning? Boy, they got about 3:30 and they milking, you know, 80, 90 cows before, you know, when we're sleeping. You know, they do it every day. I just some jobs like it. Fishing was like it. You fished at night. They fished at night, and they mended their nets in the daytime. They worked all the time. And they were there working, and they was even involved there with their father in that business. And the Lord said, you follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And you know what they done? They dropped their nets, and they followed him. That says something about them men. Reminds me of Isaiah. And God was looking for, he said, here I am, Lord, what? Send me. Send me. Is that the attitude we've got? That's faith. Faith responds, faith acts, and it doesn't put the Lord off. It does it now. And if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. The only way you're going to find God's approval is by obeying him, believing in him and obeying him. It might be you putting off doing that. Don't you know that saving faith doesn't put the Lord off? It obeys when it knows what it needs to do. You know, so many people put the Lord off. I think about King Agrippa. Almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. You remember what he said to Paul? Or Felix, he said, you come back for a more convenient time. That's the way some people are. They know the truth. And they know what they are. Mentally, they believe. In fact, he told Agrippa, he said, do you believe in the prophets? He said, I know that you do, King Agrippa. He believed, but he didn't have saving faith, did he? Because saving faith is always put together with obedience. And he said, almost you persuade me to do something about what I believe. But he didn't do it. Felix, same way. More convenient time. There's always a more convenient time. I don't think there'd ever been a convenient time to build a 150-foot ark. Would you? But he just dropped what he was doing and went to build it. Faith does not hesitate. It reminds me of Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Eunuch going down through there with Philip in that chariot. And when he heard Jesus preach to him, he said, look, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? He wasn't going to hesitate. And he didn't. He said, none of you believe. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. And they ordered the chariot to stop. And they went down the water and he baptized him. Didn't put it off. Person who believes knows who needs to be baptized. Don't put it off. That's faith. You come over to Acts the 16th chapter. And you read about the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? He said, believe. And if ever there was a time to put off being baptized, that'd been it. While it was past midnight, the man about committed suicide, his jails are in shambles, and these men's back are beat. They said they baptized him the same hour of the night. There's urgency to true saving faith. It says they baptized him that night. Faith. It always acts, it always works, it always obeys, it does it without hesitation, and it does it according to the will of God. It will always respond according to God's will. As we've looked at these passages, Colossians 2, he tells us that faith involves baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you. There's a lot of people who want to be saved on their own terms, and that's why they preach what they preach and why people believe what they want to believe. That's why they say, well, baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation, even though the first gospel sermon, when people asked what to do to be saved, they were told, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And then people say, well, baptism might not have anything to do with being saved. Just believe, no works now. Even though it says, baptism now saves you. I said, baptism doesn't save you. You can believe what you want to believe. But if you believe with assurance and conviction in order to have salvation, you'll believe and obey. Men and women of faith respond to God's call and they obey to do His will, knowing that they're not earning anything, but that they are simply serving God and responding to His grace that He extends through Jesus. Why don't you look at one other passage? We'll close. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Here again, talking about Noah. God warning Noah about the destruction that was coming through water, and God warns us of the final judgment and the destruction of fire. He says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mockings, following their own lust. I'd say this, Noah had his mockers. But they're going to come. There'll be people mock you about believing and obeying. But he says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mockings following after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? And since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But he says the present heaven and earth by his words are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that of the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And the Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is being patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God's warning us about something never been seen. This world is going to be destroyed by fire. And he says in verse 10, it's going to come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its work shall be burned up. And then he says in verse 11, since all things are to be destroyed this way, what sort of people ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God on account of these heavens being destroyed with burning and the elements burning with destroyed with intense heat. He's saying, ought we not live by faith? Obey, respond without hesitation, according to his will. Initially, if I need to repent and be baptized, I need to do that. And do it without hesitation this morning. You can come this morning. Things are prepared. There's garments here. There's water here. You can come and be saved. You know, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what anybody has ever told you or preached to you. What matters is what God says. And he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I'll take what the Lord says. What sort of people ought we be? Holy conduct and godliness. Why? Because this is coming. If we want to find an approval, we need to, by faith, do what God says, being warned of things not yet seen. But I want to tell you, it's coming. If you're here and you're a Christian and you're not living according to his will, maybe your hands are so full of the things of this world and your hobby or whatever it is, that you're not been serving God like you need to, putting him first, then serve him. Listen to his words and obey him. I will give one more passage in Matthew 7, about verse 24. Jesus, after preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said, he who hears these words of mine and does them is compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. It's not just hearing his word, it's obeying. If you're here this morning, believe in the Lord, then act upon that with saving faith by obedience to his will. Right now, while we stand and sing the song.